I want you to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. I am gifted in tormenting my husband. Numbers chapter 14. Let's just read. We want to look at the whole chapter, but in the beginning, we're just going to look at verses 1, 2, 3. So while I preach, I want you to keep this chapter open in your Bible. Okay? You all there? Numbers chapter 14, starting at verse 1. So all the congregation, everybody say all.
All.
Lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, everybody say all, complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation, everybody say the whole congregation, said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt.
Mercy.
Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear the Rhema word of the Lord for our church, God. That you are speaking us today. You are standing in the midst of us and you have a word for all of us. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your words, God. And let us arise as one, God. Let us arise as one in faith and believe as one, walk as one, and cross over as one, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this season, I really feel it in my heart that God is calling for the faith of the whole congregation. Everybody say faith of the whole.
Faith of the whole.
The faith of the congregation has to rise up to another level. Where you've been in your faith, it's time for you and I to stand up, rise up, and get to another level of faith. You see, Moses had faith. Joshua had faith. Caleb had faith. But they didn't get to cross over at that time. Why? Because the unbelief of the whole kept the whole Israelites from crossing over. And you know, as I was praying through this week, there's a different faith that God requires in different seasons. When you're crossing over from bondage to wilderness, all it requires is the faith of the leader, not faith of the whole. Look at it. Exodus chapter 14, if you could flip it there. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, okay? Starting at verse 10, it says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. And basically here, they're crying out, you know, they're crying out. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And look at this verse. What verse is that? 13. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And what had happened was, you know the story, right? The Israelites, they get to walk on dry land, cross over the Red Sea, on dry ground. But before they got to cross over, did the whole Israelites have faith? They didn't have faith. They were complaining. They're like, didn't we tell you to leave us alone? We would rather serve the Egyptians. We would rather die there than die here. What? They were complaining to Moses. They were complaining to God. But when God is taking his people from bondage to wilderness, when he's about to set them free, many times it only requires the faith of a leader. And Moses says, don't be afraid. You're going to see. You're going to see that God's going to fight for you. These Egyptians that you're so afraid of, you see them today, but you see them no more. And then what happens? God opens up the sea and they cross over. However, crossing over from wilderness to the promised land require the faith of the whole. It's time for us to come together as a family, as a church. We are in a prophetic season to cross over into our promised land, into the destiny that God had destined this house for. But in this season, the faith of the leader will not empower, will not move the people to cross over. What God is requiring is the faith of the whole congregation. That's the only way this house, this church, Living Hope, in this season, the only way we're going to cross over, is for you and I to believe together. You know, we taught this for past 12 years. There are different seasons where we are at in different stages of our lives. Sometimes you are on the front line fighting, right? And sometimes you are in the back relying upon those that are in the front. Sometimes you are in the front and you go to the middle. You know, so many of us are at different seasons, at different times, and it is okay. It has been okay. You hear me? There's been grace for us to be at a different places, at different time, to fight for the house. But now, everybody say, but now. The season has come for us to cross over. Amen. God's been holding some of us, we've been ready to cross over like a year ago, 6 months ago. But he's been holding some of us back because he's saying, I require the faith of the whole. Everybody say, faith of the whole. It's the time has come for us as a house to cross over from the wilderness to the promised land. It's time for you and I to cross over from survival from month by month to our season of fruitfulness. Cross over from lack, but giving praise. Because even in our lack, he still sustained us. To cross over from this stage to the abundance. That we will be the source of blessings for the nations. That we're not praising God for that supernatural provision where we got to pay bills. That's no more. God is empowering us to cross over so that we could be praising God to help another family buy a house.
Come on.
My dream. You need a house? Here it go. Down payment. You turn 18 and your parents can buy you a car, you are a man of God. Here.
Amen.
It's time to cross over, people. Amen. It's time for us to cross over from smallness to greatness and the bigness. Because you know what? We glorify God being small. We were faithful in little. But you know what? That season where we glorify God in our smallness has ended.
Yes.
Now we must arise as one, cross over, and glorify God in our greatness, in our bigness. Amen?
Amen.
Who's going to believe with me? In order for our house to cross over, every one of you must stand in your place of faith. In your place, kingdom place of strength.
Yes.
I want you to look within first. Where am I? Am I walking in my strength? Am I at a place where God could trust me with whatever he releases in my life? Or have I gone backwards? I want you to look inside of you. Because so many of us have been fighting the wrong battles. I'm going to talk about that. You know, during our 40 days of prayer, I was able to go on Wednesday Benjamin, he has to go every day for 40 days, and I have to stay home with Alethea. And Devon, our beautiful Devon, she comes over and spends the night a few couple of times a week so that I get to go. When I went on Wednesday, Sharon was leading, and at the end, this is what she said. Struggle is over. Amen. Struggle is over. But you know what? She said it, but how many of us believed it? Because the only way that struggle is going to be over is if you believe it. Hmm? The word was, the struggle is over. And we had all night prayer, night watch on Friday. And as we were praying, God spoke to us saying, you're fighting the wrong fight. Some of you, you're fighting the wrong battle. Because so many of you have been delivered already from the bondage. You're not in Egypt, but you keep living as if you are in Egypt. You keep struggling. You keep thinking in your mind. And you're fighting and you're struggling. And God is saying, what are you doing? You're not in Egypt. You're fighting the wrong battle. Keep that in your mind. Because when we really believe, just like Pastor Sam said, when we really believe, we're going to fight the right battles. It's time for you and I to take back our kingdom place. All of you, I don't want you to accept where you are at because of what had happened, because what you are feeling. Those are all lies. I was listening to T.D. Jakes this week, and he was saying, any situations, any voice, he said that 25 years ago or something like that, many years ago, when he went to his house, all the lights were off, and they had to take away his house because he couldn't afford it. He said somebody was lying, either the house or himself. And he said he just went into the house and said, I determined I'm not the liar. House, you're the liar. Right? Speaking to your situations, I don't care how impossible. I don't care. You call that a liar, not yourself, because you're a child of God. I feel like God is saying, look at yourself. Have you been living as you? Are you you? Are you speaking as you? Are you acting like you? You know, when I first married Benjamin, my grandmother had passed away. See, my grandmother was my mother, my father, my best friend, my everything. When she passed away, I got really, really depressed. And I was mad at the whole world. I can't believe the sun had the audacity to come up the next day. I couldn't believe people had the audacity to get up and go to work and live another day when my grandmother wasn't here. There were many nights I would be in the corner just wailing, feeling so abandoned and alone in this world. And in that time, during that time, Benjamin and I fought so much. You thought we're fighting a lot right now. This is nothing. It's very healthy, you know? But in the beginning, it was H-E-L-L. It was bad. It was really bad, where we had to get professional therapy bad. And you know what? I think we all should, if you are struggling, it doesn't mean you're crazy just because you're getting therapy. You know what? Sometimes we need professional help. And because we had that help, you guys get to have this healthy, loving pastors right now. But I remember at that time, I was depressed. I was getting hurt by everything he did or he didn't do. He did it. He didn't do it the way I wanted. He didn't do it. I'm like, what kind of husband are you, right? And so I used to be so hurt. And I remember we had to move. And then he said, Sonny, why don't you just go to Pasadena? I'll take care of it. I'm like, are you sure? Yeah, I'll just grab people. We were still at Faith Fellowship. I'll just find somebody to help me move. By the time you get here, I'll make sure the whole house is ready for you. I was like, okay. And we were still very fighting at that time. And so I went, right? And I didn't really have that much confidence in my husband at that time. I had issues, right? And when I went, I visited my friend. And so back in school, She and I were like twins. We had similar personality, right? We had same passion. We both wanted to die on the mission field. So I visited her at her work, and she was like, "Hi, Sunny. Oh, life is good. Look at the sunshine." And she's all happy, right? And I'm on the other side of the table going, "I just want to die." Right? Like, life isn't all that great. And as I'm watching her, being happy, just being her, right? And I was like, wait. That's me. This isn't me. Amen. This isn't me. How did I become this? I don't like this. This isn't me. And I determined during that lunchtime, God, I want me back. That's me. I want me back. And on my way, on the plane, on my way, Benjamin was kind of scared because our plumbing didn't work and he knew I was going to go crazy and he wanted to prepare my heart. And before I'd be like, "What? What?" But I'm like, "Okay, we'll deal with it." And he was so shocked. He's like, "What? What?" Because I'm not going to lie, when I first, I'm like, that, I felt it. But when I felt it, I said, "I'm going to be me. I'm not going to be who I'm not." Because past few months, I've been somebody that wasn't me. And I've determined to be happy me, full of joy and life. Why am I telling you this? I want you to look at yourself. Have you been you? Because some of you, you haven't been you. God is saying, wake up. Wake up. Get up. Get up. Shake it off. Time to be you. Because the breakthrough of the house is dependent on you. It's dependent upon you being you and believing together as one. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14. Okay? We read about the unbelief of the whole congregation. They're complaining. Right? Verses 1 through 4, they're complaining, right? "Only if we had died in Egypt, why'd you bring us out here," right? They're complaining, okay? Jump to verse 5, okay? "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" So 12 spies were out there, went out. 10 came back saying, "It's impossible." They gave a bad report. 2 said, "No, it's good. We could do this, guys. Let's go." People believe the bad report of the 10 spies. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. So bad. Don't ever do this to Benjamin and I, okay? Verse 10. It says, "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." When you do that, this is going to happen. "Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel." Look at verse 11. You're going to look at God's heart and Moses' heart from these verses. Verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me?'" And how long? I already said that, huh? Yeah. "With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them. I'm going to kill them. And I'll make you mightier than them." And this is what Moses said. Okay? "Then the Egyptians will hear it, God. For by your might," okay? I'll summarize it. You by your might, you brought them. You rescued them. But they're going to say you weren't able to, you know, take them, bring them into the promised land, and that's why you killed them. You sure you want to do this? And Moses is asking, "Please, please forgive them. Please forgive them. Didn't you say on Mount Sinai, huh, that you're merciful. Come on, God. Remember what you said about who you are. Forgive them, Lord. Okay, skip to verse 21. Is that 21? 20. Okay. This perimenopause. I can't see. Okay, skip to verse 20. Then the Lord, you know, even my daughter, when she's anxious or she gets frustrated, she goes, it's my perimenopause. And I'm like, oh, okay, then I have to give you grace. Because I told my husband and my daughter, when mommy's perimenopause is acting up, even if I act crazy, you have to have mercy on me. You have to be nice to mommy, okay? She's like, okay. And so when she's acting up, she's like, it's just my perimenopause. Verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory, okay, and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit. And if you go look further from verses 26 through 35, God is saying, how long am I going to bear their complaint against me? And look at this. Where is it? Let's see. Verse 28. Okay. You underline this, guys. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. They're saying, You brought us here to die in the wilderness. You you know what God said? According to your faith. You think I brought you out here to kill you? As you said, it will be done. Your faith, what you believe matters. Not only to your destiny, but to the destiny of this covenant community. Your breakthrough is in your brothers and sisters. I want to ask you, where do you feel stuck? I want you to think about, where do you need breakthrough? Okay, write it out. Where do I want God to break through on my behalf? A lot of times when we have breakthrough, we look within. And we say, oh, you know, I got to be more righteous. I got to fast and pray. Oh, God, make me, you know, work in me. Do whatever you need to do in me to give me the breakthrough that I need. But I feel like the Lord is saying, in this season, your breakthrough is not within you. Your breakthrough is without. Your breakthrough is in your brothers and in your sisters in this house. I want you to look through the congregation. Look through. Come on, look at your brothers and sisters, because your breakthrough is in them. You know what that means? That means their breakthrough is in you. Amen. What you do matters. What you think matters. What you say matters. If you isolate yourself feeling, I'm nothing, I'm just depressed in this season, what you're doing is you are locking the breakthroughs of your brothers and sisters deep inside of you. Your faith matters to me. It's time for you to come out of your man cave or woman's cave. It's time. Your lack of faith, your disappointments, your doubts, your complaints, your judgments will affect the whole. Well, I'm not even a pastor here. I'm not a community group leader. I'm not a director. I'm not a leader. So I don't think it matters. It matters. Look at me. It matters. Your faith matters. What you believe matters. And it will affect the whole. And see, there are many seasons where it doesn't matter. It won't affect. But where we are at prophetically as a house, it matters. If you're apathetic, it will affect the whole. If you embrace unbelief, it will affect the whole. And the first year, Benjamin and I, we used to go to prayer chapel at Patton, and we used to pray, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 hours every day there. During that time, God showed me a vision. And it was a vision of the baby in a room like this. And pretty soon, the baby grew in size. Didn't mature, just in size. And then, a little bit later, as I prayed longer, the baby got bigger and bigger. The size of the baby filled the room, and pretty soon, his head, the baby's head, went through the ceiling. And you know what God said? God said, Sonny, I don't want Living Hope to be a big baby. I don't want it to be a big baby, just a lot of numbers with big babies that need milk. But what I want for Living Hope is mature sons and daughters. That as days go by, that you mature in size, in faith, in wisdom. What God is calling us to do, not for numbers, not for size, but for the maturing. But your maturation process affects the whole. Your belief opens the door. Imagine that. Whatever you believe in your mind, it opens the door. Think about it. Any kind of faith, okay? Any kind of faith comes only by hearing. Think of that. Remember that. Man, I can do all things through Christ. You just heard that. You declared it. And your faith gets realized. And what you believe opens the door for whatever you believe to enter in and manifest. If you hear, I'm stupid. I can't do anything. I will fail. You hear that, then you open the door to what you believed, and guess what? That door opens, and what you believe comes through, and it manifests. What you believe matters. Whatever you believe in your mind opens the door for it to manifest. This is very important, okay? Only through your faith, anything will manifest. If you believe, man, we're a heck of fake people over here. They never called me and I was sick. Nobody cares. You believe that? That belief opens the door and it manifests. Your faith matters. If you believe, man, we're a community of love. We are a community of faithful believers who loves and who cares. When you believe that, it opens the door for it to manifest. What you believe matters. What you don't believe matters. Every one of you, when I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, if I were to go all around and count at you to show how many numbers showed up, God is looking down here and counting. One, does he see faith? One, does he have to skip over you because your heart has no faith? One, two, three, four, your faith matters. God is counting every single one of your faith in this season. Your faith matters. Only when we all arise as one body, believing the same thing, the right thing, only then will we be able to cross over. Amen? God's been speaking to me about, I said it a little bit earlier, fight the right battles. Tell your people, tell my people to fight the right battles. Who watched The War Room, the movie? Isn't that awesome? Isn't the husband heck of fake in the beginning? Like the pride, just because you're making money, you're cheating, and looking at other women, right? Man, heck of fake, right? And like, as a woman, I'm like, but that old lady said, you're fighting the wrong enemy. Fight the right battle. Same for you and I. Whatever you're struggling with, that's the wrong battle, guys. When you're fighting for yourself, that's the wrong battle. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so this. Oh, God bless me. How come you're not blessing me? When you're struggling about yourself inside of your own cave, in your man cave, woman's cave, you're fighting the wrong battle. You're never going to get out because that man cave is in your mind. Because you are already free. What God showed me was that so many of you are falling back to the same sin or falling back to the old ways of life or old ways of thinking and thinking, I thought I'm over this. Why am I doing this? And you're fighting. But I feel like God is like, you're stuck there because you're fighting the wrong battle. I feel like God is saying, you already healed, son. Daughter, you are already whole. Why are you living as if you're still back in Egypt? That you're still bound. What you believe opens the door and it manifests. If you think you're still bound, you cannot stop smoking or doing drugs or whatever you believe. You feel like, I just can't change. What you believe opens the door and it keeps manifesting. You're fighting the wrong battle. And I even told my husband this. I said, if we are struggling, or our staff, if we're struggling in our faith for that one building, we're fighting the wrong battle. That's why I keep telling our leaders, I'm not afraid. I'm not shaken. Yeah, we're still here at Hilton, but you know what? I'm going to stay here until I see the finger of God, until I see God in our next building. I'm not going to make a decision and find whatever building we can find. No way, Jose. I'm only going to move when I see God move. If I see God, then I will move. If I don't see God, I'm not going to be shaken because I trust in my God. Amen. You know what I told Benjamin? Let's not struggle about when God's going to give us our building. We're going to believe for 3 buildings at once. It's like, what? What did God say last year? That he is about to release breakthrough 2 to 3 levels above. Who remembers that word? Breakthrough, 2 to 3 levels above. God says, I'm going to release breakthrough. But don't think it's just one level breakthrough. If you think you're a cashier, right? And you want to be, what's next? Assistant manager? God is saying, you're fighting the wrong battle. You're believing for a wrong thing. You need to believe for 2 to 3 levels above. Believe for management of the whole restaurant. You're a teacher? And you're believing for, I don't know, what's the next? More money? Shoot. 2 to 3 levels above. Believe that you could be the next principal. Come on, somebody. 2 to 3 levels above. You know, entrepreneurs, are you just believing for, oh, God, I just need that $500,000 for somebody, that person to just give us that $500,000 to get our thing started? Shoot. 2 to 3 levels above. Huh? Like, that's done. Joshua, that's done. Think about something else. Because that's already done. Like, I was going to say, can you buy us that building right there? Like, that's the next level belief. You hear me? 2 to 3 levels above. But, you know, in your mind, that's cute, Pastor. Okay. That lack of faith, that opens the door. What you believe opens the door and it will manifest. When you believe, what you believe matters. Can we not fight the wrong battles anymore, guys? Can we fight the right battles? Another thing that God promised was, what's in your hand? Everybody go like this. What's in your hand? God says, I will double what is in your hand. Better not be unforgiveness. Better not be bitterness. Better not be. Huh? What's in your hand? Well, 80% is good. That 20%, God's going to double that too. What's in your hand? God gave us this word, beginning of 2014, 2015, I forget now. As a church, we had $30,000, and God gave us the word first. He said, I will double it. First quarter, he doubled it. It became 60,000. And you know what God said? I'll do it again. And again, and again, and again, until your faith lasts. Like, okay, let's believe. Double that. And guess what? Second quarter, it became 620,000. And then it became 240,000. And it became, what's double? That. He keeps doubling. Right now, as a church, we have more than 600-something thousand dollars. Within less than 2 years, God, that's miracle. And you know what God reminded me during 40 days of prayer this week? He said, I'm ready to double again. I'm ready to double what is in your hand. Now, you think, oh, yeah, because, you know, yeah, you don't understand where we were before he doubled it. There was no way out. There's no way physically God was going to be able to. There's no way we were going to be able to double it in our own. Only God could have done it. And he did it. And the word is, go back to what I promised. Because what did he say? 2016 is the year of fulfillment. Year of reward. It's the year of exceedingly great joy. What is going to be fulfilled? I don't know. If that's your answer, you got to know. You got to believe. Because what you believe will open the door for it to manifest. So I'm reminding you that God is releasing 2 to 3 level breakthroughs. You got to believe it. Not just for the whole house. Because what happens to you matters. What you believe matters. You got to believe for that 2 to 3 breakthrough in your own family, in your own life. Doubling, God says, I will double it again. You know what that means? You know what that means as a church? We're going to hit $1 million for the first time. I don't think only TJ believes with me. It's already done. By faith. Huh? It's already done. If you look at Luke chapter 5, verse 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, your faith matters to your brothers. My faith with your faith matters to the sister that you've never talked to in this house yet. It matters. I thought I saw Pastor Vern walk through. Where are you sitting? Yay! What happened to Pastor Vern last Sunday, it's not about Pastor Vern. Yeah. Even when he first got his stroke, I told everybody, it's not about him. It's a prophetic of where our house is. And when he came, Larry Ann did her best, right? They stayed the night at the hotel just to bring her husband here. They wheelchaired him in. He sat right there where TJ is sitting right now. What do? We pray. We pray. We gathered around elders, young people. We gathered around him. And I believe when God saw our faith, when he saw our faith, God opened Pastor Vern's eyes. God strengthened his legs to rise up. I was talking to Benjamin, and as we were praying, after a while, I felt like this urge to say, because first he was just sitting down. Pastor Vern, I had the urge to say, Pastor Vern, stand up, walk, run, dance. Like, I had the urge to say it, right? So I got the mic, and I look, I'm like, oh, wait, he's already standing. And when I gave that, he did it. And that's when he got open your eyes, right? But what was neat was this, Pastor Fern, that I told Benjamin, if it was anybody else, I don't know if I would have had the boldness to declare it. If it was somebody else who didn't trust me, I don't know if I could have said it because I know they don't trust me. But Pastor Vern, over the years, you have proven over and over again that even though I'm a lot younger, I'm a woman, you showed me over and over again that you trust me as your leader. When what you don't know is even when he wasn't feeling it in the past, he said, Pastor, if you say it, I'll shift and I'll do it. And I've seen him do it over and over again. Because of your heart, I had the boldness even to say, walk. It's your faith that empowers my faith, that empowers his faith, that empowers her faith. And as we see you walking, dancing, it did something to our faith. I told you many years ago that I had food allergies for over 20-something years, and I didn't have faith for it. And in the midst of a healing revival, so many people were getting healed. I think that's when Rosie got healed. So many people were getting healed during that time. And I was having lunch with Sylvia, actually. I don't know if you remember. We were eating like Thai food, and I lifted the carrot and say, isn't it funny, Sylvia? I have faith for cancer for other people, but I don't have faith for this. For myself, I didn't have faith for myself that if I ate that carrot, that I wouldn't have any. I didn't have faith. And I remember after that really challenged me. And I remember thinking, well, if I don't have faith, why don't I find people who has faith for it? So I don't know, some of the boys like Jason, Matthew, yeah. Who did I approach? Raise your hand if that's you. Daniel, Jason, and Matthew. I said, do you guys have faith for this? They're like, yeah. I said, but you have to understand, I don't have faith for it. If I eat it, I believe my throat's going to swell up. I'm going to get ugly cold sores, and I'm going to be going, ah, right? The nasty sounds, right? Like, I don't have faith for it. I don't have no faith for this. Are you sure? They're like, yeah, right? And so we had leadership retreat that weekend. Friday, I came down, and they had big old Fuji apples, right? And I grabbed it. I said, are you sure you have faith? Did you guys really have faith? Or were you like, oh, let's see what happened? I said, are you sure? They're like, yeah, because I'm about to take a bite. Are you sure? Because I still don't. They're like, yeah, do it, do it. So I had no faith. I took a bite, and I expected the itchiness and the swelling to happen. Took a bite, nothing. Took another bite, nothing. Took another bite. And God healed me. God saw their faith and healed me. Your faith matters. Our breakthrough is dependent upon how we arise together and believe together. Okay? Let me go quickly over a few things. Esther, if you just write this down and go home and read it. Chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. You know what Esther said? Said, go gather all the Jews and fast and pray. And guess what? God delivered the Israelites because they gathered and they prayed and they believed together. Even Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 4 through 18. These multitudes came against them. It was impossible for them to fight them. But Judah, all of them gathered together to ask God for help. And guess what? God said, you will not have to fight them. The battle is not yours, but it's mine. But this is what he said. But you will not have to fight, but position yourselves. Everybody say, position yourselves.
Position yourself.
You're not going to have to fight to cross over, but you must rise up and position yourself by believing.
Come on.
Don't believe for one building in Emeryville or Oakland. Believe for a building in Emeryville, building in Oakland, building in San Francisco. Come on, guys. We got to fight the right battle. Huh? We got to fight the right battle. I'm not asking for your perfection. I'm not asking each one of you saying, live righteous, don't do anything wrong. You better be perfect or else we're all doomed. I'm not asking that, but what I am asking, in your weakness, in your strength, be you.
Amen.
Don't give yourself up.
Amen.
Be you and come before God. Amen. Say, God, I can't do anything, but I come before you. Stop isolating yourself and complaining or judging others or yourself.
Yeah.
That's not you. Amen. That's not you. We got to fight the right battles. As one, what I'm asking you is whether the multitude are coming against us, whether we have no building to go to or not, whatever in every situation, that we would gather together, come before God and say, God, we lift our eyes and our hearts to you. We choose to believe you. We choose to be us, sons and daughters of God that are not moved by any lives or situations or circumstances. The only thing that's going to move us is your voice.
Yes. Hmm? Yes.
We are the people of his presence. His presence.
Yes.
Hmm? I'm going to end with this last. First Chronicles, if you could open there, chapter 19, verse 17. First Chronicles, chapter 19, verse 17. It says, when David was told of this, he gathered all Israel and crossed the Jordan. He advanced against them and formed his battle lines opposite them. David formed his lines to meet the Arameans in battle, and they fought against them. It's time for us to position ourselves. Hmm? Position ourselves, form the battle line. It's time for us to cross over that Jordan River, guys. It's time. The struggle is over. Okay, can you tell that yourself? Tell your mind. Struggle is over. Come on. Struggle is over. Struggle is over. Time to fight the right battle. I want you to stand up right now. We must arise together and believe together. Right now, in the presence of God, in the presence of your brothers and sisters, remove every unbelief, every doubt, every disappointment, every offense. Release it this day, once and for all. Hmm? Some of you, the longer you hold on to that disappointment, the longer you hold on to that offense, the longer you hold on to that shame or guilt. Hmm? God's waiting for you. God's waiting for you. In order for him to move this house, in order for God to move this house, to cross over to the promised land, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Remove it right now. Release it right now. Determine within your heart, God, we're going to fight the right battles today. From this day on, God, we're not going to fight the wrong battles. We're not going to fight or our husbands or wives. We're not going to fight our brothers or sisters. We're not going to fight our leaders. We're going to fight the right battles. The struggle is over. Your personal struggle. Come on. Come on. Can we believe together? Come on. Open your mouths. Come on. Declare it. The struggle is over. God, today you are positioning us to fight the right battles, God. God, this